Welcome to this new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast by RFI English. I'm Melissa Shimam, and twice a month I look at one major issue on the continent, one country, one idea at a time. This week we focus on Morocco's and Africa's art scene. RFI English attending the 154 Contemporary African Art Fair in its Moroccan edition. Launched in 2018 in Marrakech's iconic venue, La Mamounia, the fair started in London in 2013 and opened a branch in New York City in 1915. Since then, the fair has become one of the most important cultural events in Africa and for African arts, both for visual arts and for photography, attracting gallery owners, artists and visitors from all over the continent, but also over the world. In Marrakech, the fair takes place in the iconic venue La Mamounia in the heart of the city. And since 2024, it also has exhibition spaces for younger artists in Dada, a gathering space for art, food and music near La Medina. During the fair, which took place this year from the 30th of January to the 2nd of February, the whole city also hosts art events in places like Al Badi Palace and the Makal, a museum dedicated to contemporary African art, and arts from the diaspora. Other events and show openings also take place in most art galleries of the city, represented artists from the continent from Ghana to South Africa, Tunisia to Angola. To understand how the fair built a platform for African art in Morocco, I first spoke to the fair's founder and director, Touria El Gawi, on the opening day in Marrakech.
My name is Touria El Gawi. I'm the founding director of 154 Contemporary African Art Fair.
We're here in the Marrakech edition in Morocco. How did this evolve since you created that part of the fair?
154 Marrakech started in 2018, and I have to say we kind of like almost doubled in size since the first edition. We have the beauty of being in two new venues. You know, we have La Mamounia, which is our original venue, but then we were able to expand to Dada for the last 3 years. Dada is like one of the special, you know, contemporary modern space that is completely different than La Mamounia. It has allowed us to increase the numbers of galleries and be able to bring galleries from all over, you know, the world. We're very lucky to have probably 50%. We have 14 galleries coming from the continent, and then the rest is coming from different places. We have a gallery from Japan, a gallery from Kuwait even, you know, showcasing artists from Africa and North Africa, you know, which is quite an extensive group of creative, and we're really happy to be able to show them, you know, in Marrakech. The program got more and more, you know, traction with the whole city. So we have the chance to have such a strong, you know, VIP and program, but also just a cultural program within the city, which create, I want to say, a certain energy, you know, during the city when you have all those artists doing, you know, amazing exhibitions or amazing performance, you know, in different part of the town. It gives, I think, the visitors, you know, quite a rich experience. You know, the fair is obviously at the central piece, but like the city is offering such a beautiful backdrop, you know, of culture. And I think from a developer perspective for the city, it's definitely something that we have seen the gallery embrace. For example, other new spaces, you know, galleries are usually were set in Casablanca because it's the industrial city. You know, for example, they were all based here, the Moroccan gallery, but with the fair, you know, they have moved and opened second spaces in Marrakech because there's been in the last 6 years this culture of like, you know, wanting to see art, you know, tourists coming here, you know, wanting to do a cultural, you know, artistic program as well. And if, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, didn't find the reason to move to Marrakech. But in the last, I think, 4 years after COVID, we've seen, you know, most of those galleries opening spaces also in Marrakech. So they have usually two spaces now in Casablanca and Marrakech. And I think, you know, what's very interesting for us from a Moroccan perspective is that we before had also the possibility to show galleries who were just galleries, you know, from one part of Morocco. Now, you know, the visitors can understand that Morocco is a very rich country, you know, in terms of different galleries coming from different part of the of Morocco. And I always say that it's loud and clear, you know, when we are, you know, in London and they tell me which are the strongest, you know, markets in Africa, you know, when it comes to contemporary art. And I always say, you know, Morocco is a very good contender, because if you take all the variables that create, you know, very important and dynamic art market, Morocco has them. You know, Marrakech has a fair. It has at least 4 museums, you know, not all contemporary, but it has like strong, you know, museum platforms. But then in all the other cities, you have at least, you know, 2 or 3 galleries per cities, with 2 or 3 auction houses that are Moroccan auction houses. So all those things create, you know, an amazing dynamic here when we come with the fair. So the collector base, you know, exists. And then, you know, we have the chance that Marrakech is such an attractive place that we have all those fantastic visitors, collectors, institutions, all coming from abroad to come see this beautiful city.
Morocco obviously has a very rich culture, but it's also a wonderful location to get people to travel from the rest of Africa, from Europe, and even from the rest of the world. We've met with journalists from New York, some came from Hong Kong. So, of course, you're from Morocco. So do you think Morocco is kind of this bridge between the rest of the art world and Africa?
Well, I think Morocco is definitely geographically positioned, you know, really well in terms of being in the middle of, like, you know, so close to Europe and then so close to the Middle East. And the culture here, you know, is a mixed culture of Arabic, the first language, but then you have French, and then now you have, like, a lot of people adopting English as their, you know, first language as well. And I think the reality is, like, you have all those influences, you know, being completely mixed up, you know, in Morocco. I personally, you know, think Morocco is very strong compared to what's happening on the rest on the continent when it comes to art fairs, you know. But again, I think it's because we also built a certain base of followers and understanding of what we were doing, you know, in London and in New York, in terms of people understand our mission, understand that we specialize, understand that this is our core business, really, to showcase and promote and give a voice to contemporary artists from the continent.
And how do you do to keep in touch with all these galleries and the artists? Do you still travel over Africa, or is there now so much going on online with Instagram where people come to you? How do you make that exchange work?
It's a bit of both. I still travel a lot on the continent, and I think, you know, sometimes you need to go, because even like if you know the galleries who are coming to you, I think first of all they really appreciate the commitment of us going to see their space, to see the local art scene, you know, in situ. And I think it's very important for me to have a better understanding of what we present. So I do go, but I think we have, you know, selection committees and application process. And I do feel that now, you know, the brand of 154 is helping in bringing all those great people together. So they submit as well a lot of applications. Sometimes we discover galleries by their application. We never had heard of them before, usually because they're often very young, but, like, you know, it gives us an understanding of, like, their program, and we're very happy when we see something that we really like that we didn't even had on our radar, you know. But I always, every time I go to different countries in Africa, I discover galleries that I don't think they understood the whole concept of art fair, so they were not yet, you know, engaging with the art fair. And some had very good, very complex, you know, program, you know, locally, but didn't think there was a commercial aspect that they could, you know, bring to the fair. But to be honest, it is a bit of both. We have the reputation now to get a few galleries attracted to come to see us. And then we have a few, you know, galleries who we discover when we travel.
And if you had to name 2 or 3 African cities that are really interesting for you?
Listen, this year I discovered Rwanda, which was fantastic, with Kigali being such an amazing, very well-organized infrastructure, having great artists, but the scene is still very, very young. So this was for me a great moment, because I was able to go see things directly to the artists, you know, instead of having, they don't have yet structures of galleries, etc. But they do have creatives, and this is what's amazing, is like you have people who are doing amazing work, and you're trying to help them structure something, you know, to be able to showcase their work. And then I went to Côte d'Ivoire, and it was great. And also, you know, I had a chance to check all the galleries that, you know, we worked with, which I had never seen before, and also, you know, meet new galleries. One is participating today at 154, called Farah Frakri.
One last question about the audience here in Morocco. It's obviously a very professional fair, but do you think the general public is also interested in contemporary art?
Yes, so obviously, you know, like all fairs, we have 2 professional days, you know, that we call VIP days, or where the collectors have maybe the priority in terms of, like, buying. But then Saturday, Sunday, you know, it's all open to the public. We never sold tickets, you know, for Moroccans here, you know, to facilitate access. Dada is really in the middle of the city as well, so you can actually access it much more easier, and it's open and friendly. And I think we do receive a lot of visitors during the weekend.
Thank you so very much. Yeah. While in Marrakesh, I also visited the different sites that make the weekend a special time, including art galleries like Loft. At the gallery, I spoke with the Moroccan-Belgian artist Mouslam Rambat about his new exhibition titled Homesick. It's a reflection about the longing for home while living in the diaspora. I asked him how he started photography, both at home in Belgium and in his other home, Morocco.
If we are not based home, then it's always this, you know, something in our blood heading towards a direction, you know, it's like, and it pushes us to go to find out. I think, if I'm honest, I saw this documentary about JR, the artist, and it was like one of his first projects. It was like called 28mm, and he used to go shoot portraits of people in the banlieues and stuff like that, like with a 28mm lens. Like a wide angle, and then very close by, like very close-ups of their faces, and then he used to go hang it in the very chic places on the wall, you know, just in a street art kind of way. And that, just the whole vibe and the whole community feeling that I saw in that documentary was, oh my God, like I wanna do that, you know, I wanna create with something, I wanna be able to master something. I want to be able to make beautiful things at the same time. And that next day, I bought my first second-hand camera.
And you started in Belgium, or you started when you reconnected with Morocco?
I started in Belgium. Like, my first subject was my family, because there's so many of them. They're the only people that I would not listen to if they say, like, no, don't take a picture, or I don't want to be on the picture. Then I can still push them to do it, because, you know, unconditional love, right? Those were my subjects back at the day, and I still love that I did it, that I experimented the first years on them, because I really documented that period of all these kids, all my nieces and nephews. I have so many photos of them from that area.
And then, do you work in analog or digital? And can you remember the first time you decided to be brave enough and photograph Morocco?
I still shoot everything, analog and digital. So I always shoot what I need to have on digital. It's kind of trying to find my frame and my shot. And when I have it, I always take like two extra analog photos. And usually those are my favorite ones. So I still love analog so much, because there's the atmosphere there that you can never get with a digital camera. And Morocco, I don't know if I'm still not that brave to shoot in Morocco, basically. It's more, I also kind of choose places where I can focus on the work, you know, like that's why I go to deserts and to landscapes and stuff, because I feel alone there, you know, I feel undisturbed. It's like everybody has a studio where it's like quiet, like basically these landscapes are my studio. It's also quiet, it's also and I love working in these places. When there's like too much going on, if I have to shoot in the Medina of Marrakesh, that would be intense for me, because I would be thinking the whole time about practical things, like, okay, we can't stand too long here because we're disturbing this person's shop or whatever, and then I will not take my time to do what I wanted to do.
And can I ask if you have inspiration? The first Moroccan photographer that I've seen is Hassan Hajjaj. So for you, was there a photographer that drove your sense of style, or did you create your own?
I think Hassan is for sure a godfather for us. We also call him godfather here. He really created opportunities for us, you know. And when it comes to photographers that I kind of looked up to, for me, it was Helmut Newton, because he has a little documentary that his wife made. It was just his wife following him with a camera. And he explains how a good photo is the idea, is what you shoot. And that convinced me, basically, to do what I'm doing right now, because I was not a technical photographer. So this is what I try to do. I just try to create beautiful things that people would never even ask, like, I wonder what camera he's using, or I wonder how much his ISO is, you know, like the technical parts. I'm not like a technical photographer. I'm more of an image maker, you know.
And one last question. Is the cure to homesickness photography, or is it moving back to Morocco?
I think For me, the solution of being homesick is try to find a way to cope with it. And is that going back to the country? Is that making photographs where you represent the country or where you photograph things you miss about the country? Everybody has something different. But for me, myself, it's the sky here. It's the lights. They call it the city of lights for a reason. I think it's tough sometimes, you know. I remember there was an article in Belgium that there was like 6 hours of sunshine in the whole month of December. That was tough, you know. Like waking up and like looking outside and, okay, I have to stay strong. Because it really, like, you need to pep yourself. Like, you really have to push yourself to stay on a good mental health. Because I can understand people get depressed in these moments. Because from the moment you land here, you have the sun in your sky, you forget about everything. It's like, alhamdulillah, like, you know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The gallery owner, Yasmin Berada, tells us that if her and her sister, who founded the Loft Gallery, love to work with Moroccan artists, they are also open to many African and even international artists.
We opened the gallery 16 years ago. We're a Moroccan gallery based in Morocco, but with a real openness to the international scene. We're open to Africa. We represent African artists from the diaspora. We've also worked with European artists. We're not closed off at all because, for me, there shouldn't be any separation in art. I think that, on the contrary, we need to open up perspectives and bring the Moroccan art market into the international arena. And to do that, we need to create dialogues between different cultures, between the different stories of each artist, because we realize that there are many more shared stories among people, regardless of their country, nationality, origin, religion, or beliefs. There are far more things that unite us than things that separate us. I think that with everything happening in the world today, we feel so powerless. But I believe that with small messages, each of us at our level can make a change by spreading messages of love and tolerance. We all come from all over the place, so why try to divide all of this?
On vient tous un peu de partout, et pourquoi vouloir cloisonner tout ça?
For most of the artists present at the fair, the work is also a way to reconnect with their roots, like for Bouchra Boudoua. She went to the thousand regions of Morocco to link her work with her Amazigh culture.
I've learned the art of ceramics through craftsmen, and I try to sometimes in my work leave the clay completely raw. I mean, it's fired once, but natural, without pigments, without glazes, as a reference to vernacular architecture of the South, the symbolism of the South, nature, the rural area, and the way of life that surrounds pottery making. Voilà. It's entirely inspired by my travels in the South of Morocco, and Morocco being a country where it's very strong in symbolism. You can find in craftsmanship, in architecture, you know, in a rug, on a door. And I sort of, throughout the years, extracted certain elements, mainly from architecture and traditional craft, but also from Amazigh alphabet, Tifinagh, and I kind of made it my own vocabulary. Tifinagh. I come from a background where I worked in 3D for a good 6 years, and my work always revolves around this idea of identity and how we represent identity, and I find that totems are the perfect elements for this because that's what they are. They are symbols that have been used in the past to represent a tribe or identity. So I try to rework it in a way where, you know, I'm using these elements to represent the Amazigh culture.
Thanks to the team behind 154 and to all the participants for sharing their experience and insight into the Moroccan art world. We'll share more articles and video contents on Moroccan and African arts in the coming days on our website, rfi.fr/en, and on our YouTube channel. This was the latest episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast produced by RFI English. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon to comment on African affairs. In the meantime, for more news, go to our website, rfi.fr/en.